You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
Cheese Kingdom!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Viva Las Vegas!
Play action fake. Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! And the Chiefs Kingdom has started its own history class.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I don't think I'd be the quarterback that I am if I didn't have Coach Reed being my head coach.
Today's guests, two-time Super Bowl champion and Greenlight podcast host, Chris Long, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, that's correct. Back here in Los Angeles after a, if I may, highly successful Vegas residency, with the exception of the fact that I believe I caught a cold by drinking out of the same vodka bottle as either Bert Kreischer or Tom Segura. Or Julian Edelman or Rob Gronkowski. At least I'll just say that. I don't know. Bottom line, though, is I'm thrilled to be here. Got back from Las Vegas, Nevada, late, just before midnight last night, and thrilled to be right here back in the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, California, on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. We say hello to anybody listening later on our podcast, Overreaction Monday, the first one we've ever done, coming off a Super Bowl. Chris Brockman and I are going to record that as soon as we're done and then send that out to everybody. And then Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, who's going to be back from Las Vegas, will do What the Football on Tuesday, and so on and so forth as we go about our business. And just so everyone knows that we're back to here, Los Angeles, being normal and just doing what we do every single day on Wednesday this week in studio, on Valentine's Day, to break down the Super Bowl and also tell us whatever's on his mind. Larry David will be here.
Hey.
Talking about Curb Your Enthusiasm and so much more. So we're back. Good to see you over there, Chris Brock. What's going on?
Not much.
What's going
on?
DJ, are you up?
Am I up?
Over everything?
Oh, well, I had
you still have your shirt on, which is good.
I had a Chiefs future.
Okay.
So that hit, and I hedged a little bit, but, you know.
You're back.
I'm still up from the craps run. We're good.
DJ Mikey D is a D's nuts. You drove back from Vegas. You're good. Everybody
I'm
good?
I am good.
Is nice, that a, nice
it's a
hat?
It's a new hat.
Yeah.
Did you get that for free? You paid for it.
I paid for it.
Oh.
Whoa.
So he's down.
Whoa.
He's not up. I mean, he's down.
That was what, three figures? Huh?
DJ Mikey D is in D's nuts is here. And TJ Jefferson still has his Elvis gear on. Good to see you.
It was wild in Vegas, Rich.
Very good.
Wow.
But the script finally paid off.
It did, huh? Finally.
And I can tell you guys that it was pretty accurate.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Well,
you can now throw that in the trash bin.
Thank you very much. Wow.
Very good. TJ Jefferson is here on the program. Chris Long will be joining us in about 17 minutes' time. Daniel Jeremiah in the third hour to break it all down. Then there's you. Love looking down, seeing the phone lines lighten up. There's only a couple still available for somebody to get into. Everybody's getting in early today, which is awesome. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. So much to discuss, so much to break down from Super Bowl 58. So close to being the first ever double overtime game in the history of the Super Bowl.
Oh, man.
It went to overtime, as we all know, after starting scoreless through one. Go figure that. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, exactly what we thought we'd be talking about if the Kansas City Chiefs had won the football game, and he did, is we have seen a dynasty in full bloom being born. And I know that makes no sense. How can it be just born and in full bloom? Well, it has been in full bloom for every single year since Patrick Mahomes became a starting quarterback. He just completed his sixth season as a starting quarterback in the National Football League. And we watched it all blossom. We watched it all bloom for him. But the last 2 years, slowly but surely, has put the stamp of dynasty on this team, because we just saw the longest drought in the history of the National Football League between back-to-back championships end last night. NFL Network, as I mentioned, all week long. This was my 21st Super Bowl that I covered for them, and in a row, all in a row. And, you know, I was saying to folks, hey, when I first started covering the Super Bowl back in 38, back in Super Bowl 38, and I was walking around and seeing people saying, hey, I've been to the last 21 Super Bowls. I'm like, wow, you're old. Now I'm that guy. But when we first started, it was the first of back-to-back championships by Tom Brady and the Patriots. The one in Houston where they beat the Carolina Panthers in the last second. Then the one where they beat Andy Reid's Philadelphia Eagles in Jacksonville. Back-to-back championships, 3 and 4 years. Tom Brady was doing things we'd never seen anybody do before the age of 29. And we were talking about them as a dynasty. And guess what? The Chiefs not only matched it, but did one better. You bet. Their dynasty is full bloom and just got born together last night. Certainly when you look at the numbers do not lie, folks. What we are seeing is all-time stuff, and not just for football, North American sports. Since Patrick Mahomes became a starter the last six seasons, put it up. Look at this. Look at what's this on the screen. They lost the AFC Championship game in his first year to Brady, won the Super Bowl, then lost the Super Bowl to Brady, lost an AFC Championship. Joe Burrow raised his hand. He entered the chat. And then they've won the last two Super Bowls. This is what you dream of when you're like, you know what, we're going to trade up for somebody in the draft. We're going to draft a kid at quarterback, and we're going to see what we can do with him. But this, I think, even far exceeds. This is just the first six seasons.
This is insane.
This is what I mean by we've been watching it blossom, but now it's in full bloom, and it was just born again last night. Because, again, when you go back-to-back, you could even have an argument. Are you dynastic because you just won 2 years in a row? That's on the back end of this six-year run. And then you take a look at the most playoff wins over a five season. Just cut off the first year of that run. Last 5 years, they have 14 playoff wins in three Super Bowls. That's two better playoff wins and the same number of Super Bowls than the 14-18 Patriots, Tom Brady's second dynastic run with New England, when he was that 40-year-old in the midst of that stretch. And then the Cowboys, the triplets Cowboys, same number of Super Bowls, but three more playoff wins. Three more playoff wins than the first dynastic run of New England. From that 03 Super Bowl run that I was talking about when we were first born of NFL Network in Super Bowl 38, all the way to their undefeated season that wound up with a loss at the end. 11 playoff wins over that five-season span, just two Super Bowls. Chiefs better. Better. And then one other number to throw out to you. You want to throw in regular season wins and playoff wins together. The Kansas City Chiefs now have, over the last six seasons, 90 wins. 90 wins. Unbelievable. They're the only team that's ever had 90 such wins in that stretch over the last six seasons. Most regular and postseason wins, the Chiefs have 90. The Bills have 69. That's the only closest team in that six-year stretch. They're 21 better. And over the last five seasons, including the playoffs, their point differential is plus 838. And this was the worst year Andy Reid's had as a Chief coach. Just a plus 77 point differential going into the Super Bowl. So now we all know it's just a plus 80. So they didn't add much to that total this year. Next closest team is the Ravens at plus 730. The Niners, who have been terrific in this stretch, plus 523. The Chiefs are lapping the field. Lapping the field. After the game, Andy Reid was asked about Dynasty, and this was his response.
Yeah, it's a little bit surreal. Back-to-back is rare for this football team and this organization. So I got asked so many times, is it a dynasty? I don't know what a dynasty. I mean, you guys, you have the thesaurus. So, I mean, you can figure it out. But it's a great win. It's because I know how hard it is to do, and then how hard the season was, the ups and downs of the season, and how proud I am of the guys for just hanging with each other, staying positive with each other. The defense, the young guys grew up, but nobody ever pointed fingers at the offense when the offense was growing, and it all kind of came together during the playoffs and worked out well, and great leaders, and Patrick and Chris and Trav, and the job, you know, that they've done. They're passionate players, man, and I love that. And even if they chest bump me to the other side of the 50, I mean, I appreciate it. I just love that the guy wants to play and wants to be in there playing, and he knows I love that. So he makes me feel young.
He's talking about Travis Kelce going up to him and barking at Andy for taking him out of the game in a running play that Isaiah Pacheco coughed up. The ball inside the red zone, that lit up Twitter for much of the first half and Usher's halftime show. Look at that shot right there.
Yeah, great photo.
I mean, it's just in Andy Reid's face. We'll discuss that later on. But Travis is going to the Hall of Fame. He's now up there and sometimes even more surpassed than Jerry Rice in the history of postseason receptions for a tight end. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Chris Jones, whose third down pass rush up the middle in overtime forced a field goal by San Francisco. Same Chris Jones who threw Josh Allen's pass protector into Josh Allen's foot space to save a touchdown in the divisional round game. He's on the way to the Hall of Fame. We all know about Mahomes, and we'll get to him in a second. Andy Reid's going to the Hall of Fame, too. We all know that. The only question is how rarefied will be the air when his bust goes into Canton? Because he now has the same number of all-time Super Bowl wins as Joe Gibbs and Bill Walsh. One behind Chuck Knoll, halfway to Bill Belichick. Reid and Belichick, the only coaches ever to have three Super Bowl wins after turning 60. And what's the through line in all this? Just so Andy Reid can rest easy. I looked up the dictionary, not the thesaurus, of the definition of dynasty. What's the best definition of dynasty? Nobody's changed that on the old Google machine yet to a photograph of the Chiefs. But the definition is a succession of rulers of the same line of descent. Succession, we all know, they've won back-to-back. Rulers of the same line of descent. We are all paying rent in Patrick Mahomes' world now. His accomplishments are second to none. And I'm saying that in a world where Tom Brady exists. Look at what Mahomes has done in just six seasons as a starter. Four Super Bowl appearances. Only Brady and Elway have more. He's tied for third with Terry Bradshaw, Joe Montana, Roger Staubach, Peyton Manning, and Jim Kelly. Three Super Bowl wins. Only Brady, Montana, and Bradshaw have more. He's tied with Aikman in that regard. Three Super Bowl MVPs. Only Brady has more. He's tied for second with Montana. Only others with multiple Super Bowl MVPs is Bradshaw, Eli Manning, and Bart Starr, who took the first two of such things home. Keep it up there. Two NFL MVP awards. The only one with multiple MVP and Super Bowl MVP awards other than Patrick Mahomes is Tom Brady and Joe Montana. He now has as many. Brady has three MVPs and five Super Bowl MVPs in his 23 seasons in the NFL, 22 as a starter. He now has as many NFL MVPs as Montana and as many Super Bowl MVPs as Montana, who played 15 seasons. Mahomes just 7-6 as a starter. In terms of winning an MVP as the NFL MVP and also the Super Bowl MVP in the same season as he did last year, the only ones to do that are Kurt Warner, Steve Young, Emmitt Smith, Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw, and Bart Starr. No one's ever done it in multiple seasons. Just you wait. His 6 AFC Championship game appearances, all consecutive. That's a record. In terms of starting a career as a starter, Brady has 8. But that didn't start his career. It's one more than Ken Stabler, Hall of Famer. The NFL record, 5,614 total yards in a season, was from 2022. Oh, by the way, he's a 2-time passing touchdowns leader, 6-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro. And don't forget, he had a redshirt season. He didn't play his first year until the very end. Unreal. Unreal. Now you're like, wait a minute. It's something you've never seen before. Brady's in front of him in so many respects. Not by this age, not through age 28. Nuh-uh. His 74 regular season wins through age 28? Way more than Brady's 58. He's now 5 playoff wins clear of Brady through age 28. One more Super Bowl appearances, as many Super Bowl wins. One more Super Bowl MVP, and Brady had yet to win a Most Valuable Player award at this point of his career. All hail Patrick Mahomes. Period. End of story. And I'm sure there's a lot of fatigue right now about Mahomes.
I mean, tough.
But it, tough. Yeah, yeah. And play that soundbite if you don't mind. It's the first one that you played for
amazing.
Me. Pre-show, Hoskins. And he says it in such a sweetheart of a way, right?
The voice.
Well, it's the voice and just him being him.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of got like he's a mixture of Brady and Steph Curry, you know? Yeah. And Jordan.
Good one.
All rolled into one. Yeah. And Tiger.
Yeah.
Like, he's now up there with Kobe.
Yeah.
Serena. Like, that's the sort of, right, Serena, thank
all
you.
Of them, all of them.
All of them.
And Mike Tyson, too, because his voice doesn't actually match.
Okay, very good. And he can throw a punch, yeah. Figuratively. This is what he had to say afterwards. Go ahead.
I hope people remember not only the greatness that we have on the field, but the way that we've done it. I mean, I feel like we enjoy it every single day. We have fun. We play hard. And it's not always pretty, but we just continue to fight to the very end. And I know you get fatigue of the team sometimes, of one team winning. But we try to enjoy it and just enjoy the moment that we have together and enjoy just kind of what we can do every single day to bring the best out of each other.
And just to put it on a point, just an exclamation point, this. They went back-to-back in a season where they started with Travis Kelce hurt and Chris Jones holding out. They had all sorts of problems trying to figure out who other than Kelce was going to catch the ball until a rookie wide receiver and Rashee Rice stepped forward.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, did I see he set the record for rookie postseason catches?
They also, correct, they also had, you know, a second-year running back in Pacheco, who's the first ever running back to start a career with back-to-back Super Bowl wins. Tony Dorsett went to 2 straight Super Bowls, but he lost the back-ended one. They had injuries galore on defense. They didn't get the 1 seed, didn't get the 2 seed. They actually were on the road for the first time in the playoffs, and they had to go through the 2 seed and the 1 seed in the AFC before going through the 1 seed in the NFC. And this is all after they're supposed to be hungover or distracted due to Taylor Swift's presence. How'd that work out for all those tinfoil hat nut jobs?
Well, it was in the script, I mean.
So, this was the year you were supposed to get him.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't get him.
Uh-oh.
This was the time. And now they want to come back to be the first ever three-peat. Look out. We shall take a break. Chris Long, when we come back, Daniel Jeremiah, hour number three, and then there's you throughout on this program. So much to chop up from the overtime Chiefs Super Bowl 58 season ender. Chris Long, when we come back. Let's talk Game Time tickets, people. It's the fast and easy way to buy tickets for events near you. Right now, all users get $100 off when they buy a big game ticket with code VEGAS100. Game Time is the ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. I get to see the view from my seat before I buy with Game Time tickets. I also have all-in prices with Game Time tickets. Shows you your total up front before you buy. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets with Game Time. Right now, all Game Time users get $100 off a big game ticket with code VEGAS100. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Just download the Game Time app and use code VEGAS100 for $100 off a big game ticket. Or if you're not going to the game, use code EISEN, EISEN, for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
Back here on the show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. More phone calls coming up later on. I've got Chris Long of Greenlight Pod joining us shortly when the radio audience returns. Oh, screw it. Let's just put him up right now. Chris, you there?
Hey.
You there, Christopher?
Yes, I'm here.
Were you in Vegas last night?
No, I was in Vegas, too. Man, I'm losing track. I got
Me
home
too.
I got home Saturday night late.
Oh, you did? Okay.
So you can still hear it in my voice from hanging out with your crew there at the New Heights party.
Yeah, because you guys were all hanging out at the New Heights, right?
We did.
Yeah.
It was great to finally meet Chris, and we enjoyed ourselves.
Chris is the man, bro. Let me tell you something. He's everything you would hope Chris Long was going to be.
We went live on Instagram for like 5 minutes, and we were like, hey, Chris, just don't swear. And then 5 seconds later, he's like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hey, Rich, they had me, you know, tough time of night to put me online.
I mean, I think it was your idea.
Okay.
So
it was like midnight and we're on IG Live. I go, Chris, just don't
swear.
Curse.
Hold on a second. You're in.
How does it usually go when you ask a guy who's been drinking since 4 o'clock for an idea at midnight?
Yeah, it's about to say.
That's how it goes.
Look at this. The Gore's in the mix, too, huh?
And okay. Tommy.
This Bert.
Tommy Bert. Yeah, with a leather jacket.
Bert so,
with a
leather jacket. So whose idea after this is, you know what we should do is we should go live for anybody who wants to hear from us right now. Is that really?
You know, I'll take that one.
You did.
I mean, I had the phone, so it might have been me.
It could have been someone in this room, but you know, yeah, I'm not going to snitch.
We'll share blame.
That's all right. It's okay.
But it was great. We met Chris for the first time, so you know.
Dude, I did a tequila shot straight to the face, as Bert would say, you know, on television, and we're still on the air today.
We're good.
Oh man, we survived Vegas. So Chris Long is here on the Rich Eisen Show. On Roku, back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Chris Long, who has been with us every single Monday, all season long, Greenlight with Chris Long podcast host here, post Super Bowl 58. How are you, Chris?
I'm well. I'm really well, Rich.
You made it. We all made it. I don't even know what would your takeaway from Super Bowl 58 be? What is your takeaway, Chris?
I think it's incredible that the whole year we were trying to figure out who the Chiefs were, right? And like there was a long stretch where we were like, they're this undisciplined team. It's going to be impossible to win, making all these mistakes. And then for two games in the playoffs, we were like, oh yeah, these are the Chiefs. And the truth is the team that won the Super Bowl last night, that's probably who they are. And they still found a way to win it. I mean, like the majority of their work and their performance in the biggest game of the year told me that this is a team that wasn't that disciplined, especially offensively. I mean, the defense was amazing. But when you have Patrick Mahomes and you have a coordinator on each side of the ball that wins, because that's what happened, and you've got a defense like that, you know, you can be a world champion. And I think Mahomes, like when it comes to 150 left to go in the clock, a drive with a chance to tie it or win it, having the ball last in overtime, that's what it comes down to. We said when you come into this game, like, yeah, San Francisco might be the better team, but if the game's close in the fourth quarter, who do you like? That's what I asked everybody in Vegas when they were like, oh, you sure about the Chiefs? I was like, if this is a one-score game in the fourth quarter, who's going to win this game? And usually people were like, yeah, you got a point there. And that's what happened.
Well, I mean, let's start then with, I guess where it kind of starts with the second half, in my estimation, and how picking off Mahomes to start the second half to make the score before halftime, score right after halftime attempts for Kansas City because they got the ball to got the second half. They deferred. They won the toss and got the ball second half. That interception made it only 3 points for Kansas City on either side of Usher. And then San Francisco has the ball right at midfield. And their wheels started spinning offensively. And McCaffrey had only one offensive touch between his touchdown on the Juwan Jennings trick play all the way through to the middle of the third quarter. And they couldn't hit the Chiefs with that staggering blow. And I that to me is a story that's going to get lost in the overtime victory. Chris, what's your opinion there?
I think all year we talked about Kansas City as possibly having the best defense in the league. And I think that played out, you know, with everything they dealt with yesterday, being handed that short field out of half with all that pressure on them, 10-3, you want the 2-for-1 instead. What you get is the ball at midfield. And to your point, like, I don't know if this was Shanahan's best stretch of offensive play calling, but I also think I want to give a lot of credit to Spags. You know, they had 8 or 9 unblocked free runners in this game. And so that's what they've done all year long. I mean, nobody's better at bringing pressure from the second level. McDuffie alone has been unblocked a ton this year. And I think when you look at the coordinators head-to-head, and I do want to mention the thing that allowed Kansas City an opportunity to get back in this game, to me, was Dre Greenlaw's injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting Burks out there in coverage. And, yeah, Kansas City played a lot of zone, but it allowed them to run the ball. I think the thing that Kansas City, they plagued themselves with in the first half is they saw 2nd and 13, 2nd and 15, 2nd and 20 all in the first half. You come out in the second half and you're like, okay, we're going to see him without Greenlaw. But the first play of the second half, Pacheco fumbles a dive pitch and they're 2nd and 22. So I think for Kansas City, it was like, if we can just get this stop, you know, after we screwed it up and threw the pick, we can go. I really do think they knew that. I think they knew that, and they just had to be better on first down. And then from there, it was a few punts, but they were flipping the field. Like, they got the ball backed up. And I thought special teams was great on both sides of things. Like, I thought for a second Conley was going to be the MVP for San Francisco.
Mm.
It was one of those weird games. But I think just flipping the field and getting positive yardage for a couple possessions and staying alive through that third quarter allowed them to get in that position where I think they knew if they were in a close ball game in the fourth quarter, we like our chances. And then going to overtime, I just cannot believe that San Francisco had that approach. And then hearing Kyle Juszczyk after the game talking about, and this is the Harvard guy, they're like, he's like, I don't know the rules in overtime. Did y'all go over it? No. And I think a lot of people at home were confused at the end of the first overtime. You know, we were like, hey, call a timeout, snap the ball. But it actually ended up being a possession thing, not a time thing.
Yeah. I mean, Chris, I remember, if I'm not mistaken, Carolina with Steve Smith back in the day won a double overtime game. I mean, but then again, I was all over the rule changes. It's just because I sit here and I'm a rule change geek and competition committee type of, you know, pay attention to that stuff. I knew that I was actually upset that if this game was going to end, the field might flip. And I was sitting in the end zone where the Chiefs eventually won. And I turned to a fan who was from Kansas City to my right. I'm like, hey, if your Chiefs are going to win, you better hope it's on this play right now because it's going to go 99 yards in the other direction.
The other
but I don't know if that really meant anything if that the players didn't know.
Well,
you know what I mean?
But I don't know. I don't know either. I kind of wonder though.
Because it does speak to preparation though, I think, as I think your point, you know, about getting people buttoned up, because Chris Jones did say afterwards that they talked about it in training camp, that if they were ever in this situation, that the Chiefs would give the ball to the other team first. The defense would have to go out there first. And then it would be up to Kansas City to match. And then if they had to match a touchdown, they were going to go for two. And yeah, and wrap it up, you know.
And honestly, I don't understand taking the ball first.
You don't?
I don't. Because, number one, I think there's a high probability, or there's a relatively high probability, and it looked this way before they got the hold. I think it was on McDuffie. They were in third and long. The way they were playing offensively, like now I understand if Shanahan had come out after the game and said, hey, our defense just got dog walked in the 2 minute. Like, we don't want them on the field right now. They're gassed. But his reasoning was not that. So it didn't make a lot of sense to me, because, like, if you go three and out there, you punt the ball, that's a short field for Mahomes, and all he has to do is kick a field goal, right? And so in that situation, I don't like that. I also don't like the fact that Mahomes has a defined objective where it's like, okay, I know what I have to do here. And you get four downs. And I know that people are like, four down territory, people are puckered up, they're tight. But I don't think Patrick Mahomes is. Right? And if you give him an extra down and you give Andy Reid an extra down as a defense, you're like, how do we stop them? And I think getting right down to it and running that same return motion that gave the Eagles so much trouble last year in the playoffs, it was like both coordinators, and I didn't like some of Andy's game management decision making. Like, you know, there was a Kelce play he could have challenged, backed up. Now he didn't. And they got to the line, and then they called a timeout anyways, because they didn't know what they're, you know, they didn't like the look they were
right. And
like,
you might as well use that moment to go challenge and all, and you might get your timeout back, and you might get the first down.
That might be a half yard, and you don't have a timeout that you're down, and that almost really hurt them at the end of the game, because San Francisco, when they got the ball. But the whole thing is, both coordinators, when it was crunch time, had plays to win, you know, whether it was McDuffie in that really exotic look on in regulation, that, you know, keeping them to kicking a field goal that let them in the door. It was like in a serial killer movie where you let the serial killer in the door. And that's what kicking field goals in those situations is doing. It's like at the end of regulation, and then Spags dialing it up and getting the free runner and Chris Jones in overtime. You know, like, the minute they kick that field goal, you kind of know what time it is. And I thought both coordinators, including Wilkes, heating them up inexplicably in situations where you know they're going to have answers. You know, like, all game it's been working. You know, just keep it on autopilot. Rush four. There's no need to put your hands on the steering wheel here and take it over. You know, I thought that was one of the biggest issues for most of the game for Mahomes, was they were kind of getting whooped up front.
No doubt.
And to hit the seams and the places that they can attack San Francisco, Mahomes likes to break the pocket or climb quickly. You know, like, he likes to get deep or just catapult up and hit the seam. He couldn't work the middle of the field, I think, intermediately the way he wanted to, because he did not have those step up lanes. So I thought the front four did a great job, but then Wilkes took it out of their hands.
I got to be honest with you, Chris. I thought that if the Niners had won the Super Bowl, you know, everyone was probably thinking it's Juwan Jennings, who became just only the second guy in the history of the Super Bowl to throw and catch a touchdown pass in the same game. You know the other one very well. His name is Nick Foles.
Yes.
I thought Juwan Jennings might be the MVP, but if not, I thought Nick Bosa could easily have been the MVP. And I know he didn't rack up sack. He was absolutely everywhere last night.
10 pressures.
He was superb. I mean, he came with his A++ game. And I think that was what was keeping Mahomes from completely cooking with gas. It definitely kept Mahomes off balance, off kilter. At one time, he had to... intentionally ground the football, and that's part of the reason why Kelce might have not been much of a factor, along with Dre Greenlaw clearly going out is huge. So a couple things I want to hit you about before I let you get on with your Monday. What'd you make of Travis Kelce going up and barking at Reed and making contact with his coach? You know, I know they both laughed it off afterwards, and Reed saying he's keeping me young and he caught me off balance. But what'd you make of that one, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't like it. I mean, you know, I don't think any football player watching is like, yeah, that's how I'd handle myself. So I know it's super, emotional. And I think Kelce's, you know, there's a lot on the line. I think there's a lot going through everybody's head. And he's frustrated, but he'd tell you can't do that. I think he'd tell you that. But I think also, like, I wanted to hear what Andy had to say after the game. And I think they have that kind of relationship where, you know, they're almost like family. And so while I totally understand, like, the sentiments of, like, A.J. Brown during the game, I also, in retrospect, I'm like, how big of a deal should I make this? You know, like, I've said I don't like it, but beyond that, you know, what am I going to do? Call for a suspension, or, you know, maybe that we should talk about this, or this guy wouldn't get away with it, that guy wouldn't get away with it. I think it's not how I would have handled it. And I think if he could have it back, it would have sucked had they lost the game. That'd be like the lasting impression. But now we're talking about a three-peat. And I think you can't ignore the fact that to get there, you have to have a really unique relationship between players and coaches. And maybe that's why that makes it okay, albeit really not okay. In retrospect, you know, no harm, no foul. They win the Super Bowl, but that was a tough moment. I know Kelce's been through a lot. And I'm super happy for him to get that ring. And he's the man. I love Travis.
You and me both. And in terms of being a lot, been through a lot, I mean, in the early part of his career, I mean, Reed was right there attached at the hip with him, and now he's up there with Jerry Rice in terms of all-time greats in the all-time great games and moments and what have you. And so but I do understand why A.J. Brown's like, I'd have gotten kicked out of the league if that had happened.
I don't know about that, but I think we'd be talking about it the rest of the game, and we'd have made a bigger deal about it. But I do think part of it with Kelce and Reed is that you're like, you're assuming they're probably fine. You know, it's one of those things. If Andy Reed says no problem, then after the game, I'm going to say no problem. But yeah, I think in the moment, you're like, damn, that's not the look you want, right?
Where do you put Mahomes now, Chris, to wrap this up? Where do you put him?
Well, you know, him and Brady are, you know, going to be linked here for the rest of his career. We're going to be looking at this thing. And I think it's hard to compare, right? But they both got three rings at about the same point in their life, like 28, 27 years old, three rings. You know, without going back through Brady's first three Super Bowls, I would think most people would agree Patrick Mahomes would be considered the better player at this point in their respective careers. So now the question is, what I think New England did such an amazing job of was continuing to get back. You know, like between that third and the fourth, I think that was the big long drought.
10 years.
Yeah, it was 10 years. That type of thing is incredible. Where's Andy Reid going to be in 10 years? Is he still going to be coaching? Is Mahomes' body going to hold up for 10 years? I mean, like, he plays a different style of football than Brady. But I will say, like, if you gave me 27-year-old Brady or 27-year-old Mahomes, like, I'm taking Mahomes now. The body of work, you know, that's yet to be determined. But I don't know that I've ever seen anybody make plays off script like him, coupled with the fact that, you know, he's in that GOAT conversation. You know, there's no way they don't win this game without him. I want to give a ton of credit to Spags and defense, but this team did not play well on the biggest stage offensively. Like, you can go through the whole thing. You've got Kelce bumping Reed, you have Rice John at Mahomes during the game, you have Pacheco multiple fumbles, you have MVS catching the ball with the game on the line. It's like going to be second and four. You need to kick a field goal. He runs backwards. Like the drop from Watson. There was just so many issues in this game, and they overcame it. And I think the guy with the ball in his hands with 1:50 to go, second in overtime, I mean, those drives are what solidify him to me as definitely the best in our generation and possibly the best of all time. But there's a lot of work left for him to do before we can say that for sure.
Yeah, and in terms of three-peats, I mean, why the hell not? If Kelce is going to stay, right, and Brett Veach figures out how to make these pieces fit with whatever cap moves that need to be fit together. I mean, Chris Jones is a must, right? I mean, you gotta figure him out. Spags isn't going to be hired anywhere else. You know, I mean, it's entirely possible here that they can do this entirely. So,
listen, the team that lost to the Raiders, who didn't complete a pass for three quarters at Arrowhead, won the Super Bowl. So no matter what scenario they're in next year, if the core is there, you feel like they've got a shot. And I think, you know, like there is an incredible depth to the prospect of repeating. It's the only reason I came back in 2018. I wanted to quit, but I was like, I wouldn't be able to deal with the FOMO. And, you know, we came up short, but I can tell you, like, the idea of not just being a champion, but then doing it back to back with a group of guys, it puts you in such rare air in American sports. Not just that, I think this is the toughest sport to win it in today's football. I think if they did that, they need to do a last dance type thing about these guys, because it's that remarkable. You know, I know that I don't want to be hyperbolic, but to do it in today's era with some of the things they've been through, they deserve a story. You know, they deserve a damn documentary if they could do that.
Yeah, by the way, I left out L'Jarius Sneed, who's also a free agent. Jones and Sneed, got to have him back. That it, and then figure out the rest.
And if Sneed doesn't end up in Kansas City, hey, Philly.
Way to take care of the home fronts, Chris. Hey, you are superb. You're the best, man. And you being on this show every Monday during the football season is a must. And I'm look for my calls, even, you know, because football never stops.
I'll come on, and thank you to the Rich Eisen Show listeners, man. You guys, I know I'm not your bread and butter every day, but appreciate you listening. The dudes behind the camera that Rich doesn't give enough FaceTime, I see you guys, man. We'll hang out next year at a party again. Probably won't see you until then. You know, the camera's just going to be on Rich. I don't know.
No, no, the camera just showed you. Come on, the guys you're referring to.
Chris, I can't wait another year. I can't wait another year to kick it with you, man.
Fun. How dare you stir this up out the door?
Rich, I appreciate you, man. You've been real cool to me through this whole media process. So if this is it for a couple of weeks,
not
a couple of months, you're the man.
No, we'll chat. We'll chat shortly. We'll speak to you soon. You're
we should
the best.
Just get random Thursdays with Chris Long.
Okay,
just,
there you go. Perfect one.
Now we're talking.
Greenlight Pod coming up with who? Who do you got talking Super Bowl? What do you got?
Just Kyle, me, and the boys. We got to sink into it. We got a lot of gloating, a lot of, you know, that whole thing. So we'll be going live in about 30 minutes.
Okay,
here.
Pal. Thanks for the time.
See you.
Chris Long, the Greenlight with Chris Long Pod. Take a break. Lots to chew on. Phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on this post-Super Bowl 58 edition of The Rich Eisen Show. You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply. Let's talk about DoorDash, people. We are a huge DoorDash family in my household. As a matter of fact, my wife loves DoorDash so much, she almost named one of our kids Door and the other one Dash. I'm serious. We got everything DoorDash to the house. Kind of like what we saw during the big game, right? DoorDash went all out for game day and DoorDash stuffed from all the ads to one lucky winner. Cars, snacks, even tax software. What a football game that was, for sure. It was one heck of a delivery for the winning team. And whatever watch party or anything party you've got coming up, get it delivered to DoorDash. You're going to love it. We sure do in my house. Football season may be over, but we are still in the thick of basketball games, the school year, and let's face it, winter. I could think of a million reasons daily to order DoorDash. So hop on the app and make your day a little easier. Get dinner for tonight, groceries for the week, or a consolation prize for your sad friends in San Francisco.
all on DoorDash. DoorDash, your door to more. Head to the DoorDash app to get everything you need delivered.
Where'd the nickname Showtime come from?
It was my godfather, Troy Hawkins, him and my dad, but really him. They would watch me play, and I would make the diving plays and stuff like that in baseball. And they said it was Showtime when I was on the field. And so they always used to call me Showtime, especially my godfather, LaTroy.
LaTroy Hawkins. That is a name I have not heard in a while.
Yeah.
Okay, Patrick. Look, I appreciate you calling in here greatly. And I appreciate the text exchange that I had with you the other day where you were gentle in rejecting my suggestion to give you a new nickname of the Patrol. I really appreciate that, Patrick.
it was a good idea. I just kind of was playing down the nicknames as much as possible at that point.
So it's okay. Great. So you're saying
it works for you.
No, hold on a second. You're saying that it's not a judgment on the actual creativity of the nickname. It's just you attempting to be humble, tamping down any of the accolades right now because you're focused on winning. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, just for me in general, I mean, it's all about the football. It's all about the team. And so I know that the nicknames are a cool thing to do with social media and everything that's around right now. But for me, it's all about just being a teammate and someone that's just a part of this organization and a part of a team that wants to win.
So if you had an ego, let's put it in a box here. You have an ego. You don't care about being humble at all. You're just pounding your chest. Nickname of the Patrol. Do you like it? Be honest.
I don't know. There's been so many nicknames that have came out lately, and I'm just going to kind of keep it at just Patrick right now.
You're being polite. I like it.
Yeah, thank you, though. I appreciate it.
That's Patrick Mahomes back in the day. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Guys, you ready to give out a hug?
Two.
Turzo and
I have an idea.
Diehard Niner fan. I guess you got to say it this way. All rise.
All rise.
And then we'll give him a hug. You there, Turzo?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just follow your lead from Friday's episode. I'm going to take a shot to the face.
You should take a shot to the face.
To the face.
To the face.
The way you have to have it.
See, how many people are
presented
there?
To you?
Should we buy a round? How many people?
What's
are
up? Right, what are your?
There's seven of us, and I've gotten hugs from everyone. I do appreciate all of the support. That was tough yesterday, man. That one hurt, and it hurt in a different way, because it wasn't just about us losing the game. My little nephew, 11 years old, he lives up in Minnesota. His mom's a big, big Vikings fan. But he's come over to the dark side, and he's been a part of the Niner Nation. And seeing a picture of him kind of crying at the end of it was just brutal, man. Because I was wishing for this one not just for myself, but I was wanting him to see one. Because I've gotten to see three in my lifetime, and like I really wanted the sixth, but missing out on that one was tough, man. And we had every opportunity.
Yes, you did, sir, but never delivered that gut punch. Never delivered that. Thanks for the call, brother. We're hugging it out.
Well,
with you.
Hey, Rich, real quick.
Yeah.
This is kind of the one thing that I gotta throw out there is when it comes to comparing Patrick Mahomes to Tom Brady, there is going to be one thing that is going to stand out. And I want to be the first one to actually say it. When Andy Reid leaves his side, okay, that replacement is going to feel a huge, huge burden. And it's going to be a very hard thing to do. And Eric Bieniemy might be that guy, but I don't necessarily know if he is that guy.
I don't know.
And so the one thing about Tom Brady is he always had the consistent Bill Belichick right there next to him. Right. And so you can't mention Tom Brady without Bill Belichick. And at any point, I think that there's going to be a position to where you can't mention Patrick Mahomes without Andy Reid. And I'm very curious because Andy Reid is not going to be there as long as Bill Belichick was there for Tom Brady.
Now, that's true. Thanks for the call, Turzo. Thanks for the food for thought there. That's going to be a moment. Andy Reid confirmed this morning He will be back for next year. And he's got a new contract coming his way. But at least for the Chiefs and the Hunt family, there's no salary cap on what to pay a coach. So, and if money does matter to Andy Reid in that considerable way, and I think money matters to everyone, they could just enrich him in a way that makes him the highest paid coach in the NFL and won't disclose the terms. He'll know it, and he'll keep doing it as long as he's physically able to. And last night we saw him jump on top of Chris Jones.
That was really funny.
Which is one of the best moments we've seen in a post-game celebration, where Chris Jones was prone down on the ground and he jumped on top of him. Needed the help of the great PR man Ted Cruz to get up. And so as long as he wants to keep doing it, and why wouldn't he if you are coaching potentially the greatest quarterback in the history of the game? And I know Brady's going to start to chafe at that, especially since Mahomes even said last night he didn't beat Brady in a Super Bowl. Think about that. If the result had been different in that Super Bowl, what the conversation would be like today.
Right.
So Brady got +2 on that day, essentially, with that one win. And we'll be talking about this years from now, when Brady's in like his mid-50s and Mahomes is in his late 30s. And we'll be looking back at that Super Bowl, the time when the two undisputed best quarterbacks in the history of the game faced each other in the greatest game the NFL could stage. And the question is, you know, obviously, how long will Kelce be there? I bet you if you quizzed anybody who sees the graphic that's on the screen, Brady through age 28, if you quizzed any, say, current 28-year-old or 18-year-old or anybody who might be getting a lot of their news from TikTok, by the way, don't laugh. True. That's the way things go these days, which is kind of frightening.
Big problem, yeah.
So they would probably say, oh, yeah, well, he had Gronk. They didn't. You didn't have Gronk. Gronk came later. So Mahomes has his Gronk now. The question is, who will be his Gronk when Kelce departs, and who will be his Belichick when Reed departs? That's for another day. Today, though, we are paying rent in Patrick Mahomes' world. That's a fact. Hour number two, we'll come back and we'll talk about the overtime decision and start focusing a bit on the Niners. Before Daniel Jeremiah joins us, hour three.
I mean, Rich, Brady could call his Super Bowl next year.
Oh, is it on Fox next year?
Brady's yes.
Back. No. Do you think Mahomes?
It was Fox last year. So
no, Fox has next year.
Okay. Do you think Mahomes would give up winning last year against the Eagles to have beaten Brady in that Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
No, because he just went back to back.
But you'd have that one over Brady.
Brady, yeah.
Back to back's better.
So in 15 years, they would have, in 15 years, no one, people are just going to hold that over him. He didn't beat Brady.
If he beat Brady, that would have been a back-to-back. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so sure.
Yeah, you got to, right?
Yeah.
You
I don't know.
But you just, know, I don't
be the best. You got to beat the best.
I don't know. You know, I don't really dig those conversations.
I know.
Because there's just not even in the realm of reality in the same way that, would you rather the Niners have gotten blown out last night than lose like that?
Yeah, they would have.
Oh, God.
What are you, nuts?
By the way, listen to Kurt on the way home from my buddy's house. Kurt literally said, at that point, you were probably wishing that you had just been blown out.
Okay.
So that way you didn't have to think about it.
I watched every Niner fan have a blast yesterday until that moment in that stadium. I know, until they didn't.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. Oh man!
But it
you
was.
You don't want to lose like that. What are you nuts?
No. When you lose this close, you can second guess.
Oh my God!
Everything.
Choosing the manner of your sports death is a conversation I will never agree with you guys ever.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
And here's Lil Yachty with Tierra Whack.
I've never been to a fashion show. I never did any Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, and I'll tell you why. Because I would always go to events and people would say to me, "Oh man, Yachty, man, I love your music, bro." And I should be like, "What song?" At the time, I didn't love my music. I would feel like I'm in a room with all these artists and they all respect each other. And I feel like no one respects me.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.